And welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus on this Thursday. The weekend's almost here. And temperatures outside are nice and mild in the 30s across much of the area. I'm Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki, along with our Ag Director Bridget Riedel, who is having a wonderful time down in San Antonio. How's it going down there, Bridget?
Well, things here at Commodity Classic are hectic as usual. I think I told Addison I'm somewhere in the neighborhood of, I don't know, like 11,000 steps, and here it is 1 o'clock in the afternoon. But we've had lots to see. Big day here with the educational seminars that are going on, just walking the trade show, being a part of a variety of meetings. This morning, our partners from Acres TV had me hosting a panel discussion with Valent as we talked about a new burndown herbicide from them, Rapidicil, which is going to be labeled soon, we hope, by the EPA, focusing on water hemp, water hemp, Palmer Amaranth, and kochia, also grass control, which is helpful if you need to be terminating any of your cover crop coming up very soon. So great discussion with Valent this morning. Back here in the cab of one of the pieces of equipment from Fendt. This is a Rogator. This is a 900 series applicator, and we're going to be visiting very soon with the product manager about this piece of equipment.
Now, a lot of new equipment down there. Now, Bridget, I heard you talking briefly yesterday. I believe it was on Scotty's show, where with the economy the way it is, is there a lot of interest in some of the newer tractors down there in terms of, again, you know, spending and whatnot?
That's two different things. Folks love to look at equipment, right? They like to see what's new, what's great. We're all like pretty paint. It's the same reason that you cruise in the new car lot. Is it something that you're going to buy one on the spot and take home? The chances are high that you're probably not. But you are interested in what are the upgrades and the changes, because when you are ready to make those upgrades and changes on your farm, how will they impact you? And you can be planning for the affordability. Not all this technology has to come brand new that's being displayed here either. There are things that are added in an aftermarket setting as well. And frankly, I think the bigger part of what we do here is the networking with so many farmers from across the U.S. and Canada, asking questions about what are you doing? What are you doing differently? What are you changing? And that's making a difference on your farm. A
lot of learning down there. That's good.
A lot of learning.
That's good.
Yes. And then also the business and policy that gets taken care of down here with soybean, corn, and sorghum growers, and as they work towards all the things that can happen governmentally. Addison is showing on our live stream the Rogator from Fendt. That's the machine that I'm in. It's a self-propelled sprayer. We're going to be visiting about that throughout the hour today. Additionally, I want to say thanks to Lighthouse Commodities. They provide our live stream so you can see those photos and what's been happening right down here at Commodity Classic. I'll try to post a few more pictures today. There's a lot happening. I sometimes forget to whip out my phone and take care of that. For those who have questions, though, you can reach us on the JLA Insurance phone line. That number is 701-293-9000. And we'll be taking your emails, weather@flagfamily or ag@flagfamily. And those come to us through our inboxes powered by Superior Grain Equipment. So it's hot outside, Dean. It's like 88 degrees here, but it's not that there.
No, it's not even close. But, you know, that's okay, though. That's okay, because I'll tell you what, anybody that's used to the weather up here, this is actually quite mild. We've got temperatures outside in the low to mid-30s. A little bit of cloud cover across the FM area right now, but more sun will be emerging here over the next hour and remaining with us for the rest of the afternoon. So partly cloudy to mostly sunny with temperatures in the upper 30s. Some spots in the southwest of the FM area could reach 40, and winds not bad today out of the south at about 5 to 10 miles an hour. Then tonight, partly cloudy, only in the upper 20s. That's it. That's about where we should be for afternoon highs on average. And then tomorrow we'll start out mild. We're looking at temperatures in the 30s, but then a sharp cold front hits close to lunchtime, and that will lead to windy conditions. In fact, a wind advisory has just been issued for tomorrow for our area due to those winds out of the northwest, 30 to 40, and temperatures falling into the 20s. No worries about blowing snow in our area due to the fact that, again, remember we had that freezing rain the other day. That put a nice little coating on top of the snow, plus with the melting of the snow, It's not going to be blowing around as we head into Friday, at least nothing to worry about. Now, if you're having any travel plans going north along the U.S.-Canadian border, let's say from about Langdon over through Roseau, those areas could see a more widespread blowing snow with very, very poor visibility. The snow is a lot looser up there. They're not going to see the warmer temperatures as well to kind of put a crust on that snow. So, again, keep that in mind for tomorrow. And then a modified Arctic air mass comes in over the weekend with highs around 10 to 20, nighttime lows 0 to 10 below. And then we're right back into the 30s to start off the month of March, even some 40s in the forecast for next week as well. So, what does the rest of the month look like? I posted that up on our webpage. You'll want to check that out, WDAYRadioNow.com. And we have above normal temperatures, according to the LRC, for the entire month of March. Now, that doesn't mean we won't see snow. That doesn't mean, you know, we're going to have record heat. But on average, we're going to see above normal temperatures through most of the month of March. So good news if you're wanting warmer weather. Bad news if you're a snowmobiler and you're looking to go sledding around our area. Probably not too conducive for that, unfortunately.
Well, I can understand that. That might not be the place that you necessarily were, not necessarily what you were hoping for at this point in time, right?
Exactly, yeah. And, you know, I was missing for weather trivia yesterday, and I know we did a trivia on Tuesday. I've got another trivia question. I've got a pair of tickets to give away too. They've been sitting on my desk for the Home and Garden Show, and we'll do that before the show is done today, if we have time. If not, we'll get it tomorrow, so you have those tickets for the weekend. I've got another weather trivia question. I did some digging on this because on our sister station, Alex said, "Do you remember us having snow?" And maybe you know, Bridget, but I don't ever recall this. I check with the weather service; they have no record of it. But Alex swears that, and she's like, she said it was in the last 10 years. She can't remember exactly when, but it was the 4th of July, and we had snowflakes in the air. Now, she thought it was in, but within the last 10 years. I couldn't find anything on the records about it. So do you recall any 4th of July? And not measurable snow, but it was cool enough where we had snowflakes in the air. Any recall on that?
I wouldn't be terribly surprised at that, because it's always possible. Boy, in the air, maybe nobody kept records because it was just in the air, right? So that would make sense that it wasn't necessarily something that was a big deal.
Okay. If any of our listeners, if you can recall, have you seen snowflakes fly in the month of July? Specifically, it was right around the 4th of July. And this was within the last 10 years. I dug through all the records. There was no indication of it. And I checked with the weather service. They had no record of it either. They thought it might have been hail, but Alex swore. She's like, nope, nope, nope. I know there were snowflakes flying. It was she goes, because I was laughing. I couldn't believe it. So I'd be interested to see if any of our other listeners recall over the last 10 years, do you recall seeing snowflakes right around the 4th of July? So that would be definitely be a rarity.
I appreciate you doing Wednesday weather trivia today on Thursday. Yesterday, we just didn't have time. We had a lot of things going on that we were talking about, and we just thought, you know what? Dean had given away some garden show tickets on Tuesday, but I'm glad to see we have those today. Headline-wise, I've got something for you. Now, we talk frequently about the concern as we watched prices rise on the consumer side of things for beef, right? When we go to the grocery store, it's more expensive than you expect. You know what else has gone up because of the price of beef?
What?
Cattle rustling.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Interesting. Yep.
Because if you think about it, you have a mature cow. She's in good health. She's probably carrying a calf. You're seeing cows that are selling at prices of $4,500 to $5,000 a head. So this is an incredible increase versus where we were at just recently. So rustling has gone up exponentially. Reports as of late have been coming out of states like Texas, Colorado, Kansas, Nebraska, and South Dakota. And even Colorado mentioned that the one of their issues that they had was worth a value of over $400,000 in animals that were swiped.
Okay, I'm gonna play dumb here, Bridget, because when you go, let's say you're stealing a cow and you're going to sell it. Don't you have to have some kind of certification saying it's branded to you? I mean, how can you just go steal it and then go sell it?
not every state has brand laws. South Dakota, for instance, only has brand regulations on the Western River side of the state. North Dakota, we are a full state brand. So it means we brand all the cattle across the whole state.
Okay.
Now, if you bring an animal in without a brand, you can say it's mine. And how is somebody going to prove you wrong, right? It doesn't exactly come with its own passport. Now, if you had name tag, or excuse me, ear tags, you can take ear tags off. Farmers are recommended that if you have things like RFID tags that you could implant, or if you have collars that they wear, it's a little bit easier to go ahead and track those animals. Now, if they're branded, you do have to have forms that are released, whether you own that animal, it's brand registered to you, or that you bought the animal with the brand and you've got the release forms to go along with it. So can it be tracked down? It can. Is it quite a process? Yes, it is. And that's why North Dakota, for our North Dakota Stockmen's Association, we do employ 3 licensed peace officers who are licensed brand inspectors. It's not Yellowstone. We're not like the livestock officers there, but they will investigate rustling and other problems that can occur when it comes to ownership and so forth with these animals.
All right. Well, before we go to break, real quick, Bridget, we've got Oscar on line one, and I think he's got an answer for us regarding snow in July. Oscar, what you got?
Well, okay. The snow in July was in 1984, driving from Boise, Idaho to Lewiston, Montana, Idaho, that there was snow so heavy up in there, we even had to chain up our trucks to get through it. I'll never forget that one.
Interesting. You're talking the western part of the state.
The western United States, that was on the 4th of July. Yeah. We had to chain up our trucks to go through the snow.
Yeah, that would still be, man, no thanks. No thanks. Wow.
Well, you have a good day,
hey,
kids.
Thanks, Oscar. All righty. So, still be interested to see if anybody can recall the snow, like we were talking about earlier, in the FM area over the last 10 years on July 4th or right around that time frame. But anyway, thankfully, there's none in the forecast in the short term. If you are, if you're wanting an early spring, it looks pretty quiet here as we head through the weekend and into early next week, Bridget.
We're going to watch what the weather does is the same as we're watching what's happening in headlines and things here at Commodity Classic. Next up, after the American Livestock Report, or excuse me, American Livestock Networks. American Ag Networks, Livestock Report. Goodness, words today. All right, we're going to be joined by Shannon Klug. She is going to join us here with Fent. We're going to talk about this fantastic Rogator we're in, and we'll do that when we return.
I never saw a this in the machine.
We are back at Commodity Classic with Weather and Ag in Focus. And thanks to the folks here at AgCo and Fendt, they have got us in one of their machines so that we get an opportunity today to see it from the bird's eye view. Thankfully, I've been able to send just a few photos back of what's been going on here in the Fendt booth. And there's a lot. It has been quite a kickoff of the week of a new version of their Vario 1000 tractor, or that's the new 1000 Series Generation 4. On the live stream from Lighthouse Commodities, you can see the Rogator that I'm actually in now. And I am joined by Shannon Klug. Shannon, you're the product manager for Rogator?
Nope. So I lead North America marketing for all applications.
All right. So for all applications.
Yep.
Is the Rogator a little near and dear to your heart? Because I like to get rid of weeds, so this is my favorite piece of equipment right here.
It is. So near and dear, not only for my story within AgCo, but my farming operation that I grew up on, we did our own application from start to finish. So I've always been in the cab of an application unit throughout my years, and it's definitely a fun little corner of the ag business.
Before we talk about the Rogator, what's your story and how does that connect within AgCo to this particular item?
Yeah, so my story is I grew up in southern Minnesota. And I mean, born and raised, I now still live on a farm in southern Minnesota. So I married a farmer, and it's really the amazing niche that we can get into is the farming industry. I mean, there's a lot of heart and passion in the agriculture industry, and that's why I'm here.
That's awesome. Okay. When we're talking about Rogators, so many people remember over the years seeing the yellow livery colors of what we used to have for Rogator with ag. We called them ag chem. Is there a little bit of a story of how that changed? Because there's so much familiarity. I mean, ag chem is a really popular applicator in our region, and now we can see them in the fen colors.
Yeah. So that transition from the yellow to the green was something that we really needed for the full fen family.
Okay.
So that is the direction we get Gold Star customer care with it once it transitions from those colors, as well as all of the solutions that that can bring to the operation. So we can go through mud deals, we can bring that to the retailer or the grower. So that is something specific to the application unit as we get heavy into the retailer side, and we can do that with the Fendt brand.
You said the opportunities, the new things that are happening, there are some upgrades in this particular machine for 2026 that I think are valuable to those who want to buy one for their farm, or if you're looking to do agribusiness work as custom applicators.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so one of the key features in model year 26 is the 40 mile per hour roading speed.
Okay, hold on. I just want everybody to envision 40 miles an hour in this thing. I know we're fully elevated with the hydraulics, but we're even at road gear, we're still a solid 7 feet off the ground?
Yep, so it'll be 56 inches in the low clearance, and then 76 once you get up to the high clearance.
40 miles an hour seems like, I mean, I know it takes a long time to get between fields, but that seems like lightning speed right there. Okay, so that's one.
That is one.
Okay.
And we are always evolving and pushing not only the chassis but our system. So we did be able to release the 720 on the dry system as well as some new features on the liquid system. But, I mean, it is really the durability and the quality that we're driving to enhance moving forward.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, these machines have to put on a lot of hours. And that's probably a fair question is, do you have some mileage milestones or some hour operating milestones that you want to get to when it comes to service, and you want to make sure that things are brought in and reviewed to make sure that they're running smoothly?
Yep. So 3 years is our Gold Star customer care for application. So, I mean, we are standing behind it from, I mean, the front of the machine to the back of the machine with our dealer support. So, I mean, that is the drive for this machine that it is industry leading is that Gold Star customer care.
This is a liquid application machine. We've got a tank behind us. We've got the booms with the Y drops on it on display here today. Liquid Logic. Is that something we can talk about? Because that sounds like a fantastic name. I want to know more.
Yeah, so Liquid Logic comes standard out of the factory. So that is not an add-on. Some of our competitors have it as an add-on, but it is a solution that we see value in. What it does is it cleans out not only our tank, but our boom. Right now, where we sit is about 26 minutes that we can do that in, where other operations, they'll be broken down for about half a day.
Okay, so when we're talking about this Liquid Logic cleaning out the booms, 26 minutes, you're talking about like recirculating through the entire tank, which is this a 1,000 or 1,200 gallon behind us?
This is 13 here.
13 behind us.
Yep.
So you're going to do that. You've got the booms where we can recirculate through the booms. We don't have to worry about spinning off end caps to blow it out the ends. Okay.
So that is when you get in the field, you can prime your boom or get all of your products throughout your boom from tip to center. While you're driving to the field, you get in the field, put your booms out, you click that master apply yellow button, and you're going.
So
instant.
Here's the thing that not everybody may understand is when you've got to clean out a sprayer, like you said, this can be a half day project, depending on what was in that tank. Or if for whatever reason, you wound up having to get stopped and you didn't get to clean the tank out as quickly as you wanted, and the things might have been sitting for a while. So it's vital as you go from potentially sensitive crops like we have in North Dakota with sugar beets or canola, you've got to get everything out of those booms. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you've done tests to make sure, you know, what are you tracing? How safe is it? Is there anything left in there, et cetera?
Yes.
And there's not.
It's clean. And on top of that, you get, I mean, those nozzles aren't cheap either.
No, so, your nozzle sets are not cheap.
No. So you're cleaning those out as well as the efficiency of your machine. You don't want stripes going down here, especially small grains. When you have a nozzle off, you're going to see that row for row for row.
If you're a custom applicator, it's about the timing and how long it takes for you to get this machine cleaned out. You don't have that kind of time. You're pushing up against the window where it either just rained or it's about to, or the wind's going to come up. You got to move fast.
Yep.
You have the ability to put a 1,500 to get an 1,580 gallon tank on here.
Correct.
That is a lot of weight. Do you ever worry about compaction or anything like that in the field, or everything is really built to last on this chassis?
Yep. So our liquid machines, you can go from 900 gallons up to 1,580 gallons, all dependent on that. But this is all leveled out. So when we're driving down the road, we're completely level and rolling through, and compaction wise, not a problem. No, we design our machines to make sure we don't have issues.
With that much liquid in the tank, do you have to put baffles in there in order to worry about any wave action going on the road? Okay.
Okay. We are open.
You are all good to go. All right. And I also like the fact that you can switch between liquid and dry in under 2 hours. That's how quickly these machines can turn over.
Correct. Yep. So, and that's 2 hours with two people.
So that's a lot faster and more efficient than what we would be seeing before.
Absolutely.
Shannon, this is a marvelous machine. I have had people ask me, you know, what's my opinion of it? I would say it's one thing to look at it here and see it in the booth at Commodity Classic. But the real true test is coming to your dealer and getting in it, maybe taking it for a test drive, putting it out and seeing it in action in the field.
Absolutely. Our dealer partnerships that we have within our network are amazing. And that's one thing that I really encourage people to go is get in the seat, drive it around. Our dealers have access to not only corporate marketing machines, but they have dealer stock to be able to get you in there. So there may be some assumptions here or there, but we can work through those.
Your partner in our region is Butler Equipment.
Yes.
And so they do a marvelous job of making sure that people get to see how fabulous these machines are and how to hold their trade-in value, because you're going to want your next one.
Yes. And that is big. Like I said, Gold Star customer care. When you have that write-up of every single thing that has happened to that machine over the first 3 years, that makes that second sale a lot sweeter, when you can say, I know exactly what has happened to this machine. I know who has talked about it and who has worked through it. And Butler's a key customer there.
Can customers see this machine or see a Rogator at the Jackson Lodge in Jackson, Minnesota?
Yes.
Okay.
We do have at least one unit, both Rogator and Terragator, available at the Jackson Fent Lodge all of the time. So we may have more units there too. The Fent Lodge does have a track just outside of the door. So we'll keep it warm in there so we don't have any any cold issues. But if you come in the winter, we can get you behind the wheel and drive on our track.
Worth my time to go to Jackson, Minnesota.
Absolutely.
All right. So, Shannon, thank you for joining us today to talk about the Rogator. Much appreciated.
No, thank you for having me.
All right, folks, when we return, we're going to be joined by Brandon Dale. He farms at Jamestown, North Dakota. He's also part of the North Dakota Soybean Growers Association and the Corteva Young Leaders Program. What's that? Well, we'll find out next. And we are back from Commodity Classic. Thanks again to AGCO and Fendt. They are your partners in the field for advanced ag machinery and smart farming solutions. They brought us probably the boldest Fendt tractor they've ever announced, at the Vario 1000 Generation 4, because leaders drive Fendt. And one of our leaders, well, he's one of our soybean leaders, is joining us today. We are joined by Brandon Dale. You felt like this was a pretty familiar setting, sitting inside of the cab of a sprayer.
Yeah, it's a bit early for me this time of year, but yeah, definitely comfortable with the setting of a sprayer cab. So.
We had to switch seats because the air ride seat, I'm way shorter than you are. It wasn't working really well. So I took the buddy seat. So Brandon, tell us about where you farm and what you do.
Right. So I live in Jamestown and I farm near Montpelier, North Dakota, with my dad and brother.
Okay.
Fifth generation on the farm.
Okay.
And, you know, we have a row crop operation, soybeans and corn.
Okay, excellent. So with that operation, again, you said soybeans.
Yep.
That's probably what led you a little bit to being a part of the North Dakota Soybean Growers Association.
Yeah, exactly. So I was at the soybean golf scramble in Jamestown, and I was sitting across from a gentleman named Chris McDonald.
Yes.
From Leonard area.
Yep.
And he said, hey, you're a young leader or you're a young farmer, you should apply to this program. And I took him up on it, and it's been great.
So as you come down here with soybean growers, it's not like you have all sorts of time just to walk the trade show floor, right? What's your day and your week been like here?
Yeah, so I'm kind of wearing two hats. So we have young leader programming that started on Monday.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, when I can, I try to jump into the North Dakota Soybean Growers Association schedule. So
sure.
It's been busy. Monday was sort of a get in, meet everybody, have dinner. And then Tuesday was a lot of meetings and sort of hearing from the people in the industry. And then I got to sit in on some American Soybean Association programming, like the voting delegate session and things like that.
So when it comes to some of the voting delegate sessions and the things that you're talking about, are there specific pieces of policy or legislation that you really have your eye on for not only your operation, but the area of North Dakota that you represent?
So there were a few like sort of, for lack of a better word, like hot button issues. One was in relation to the PP buy-up, the removal of that.
Explain PP buy-up, so we prevent a plant. Right. We got to explain what that means.
Forgive me, I'm sort of probably not a little fuzzy on the details, we used to be able to buy up PP up to 5% of our acres, and that was sort of eliminated without maybe due process, according to who you talk to.
Sure.
And so as an association, we wanted to advocate for that because obviously farmers in North Dakota have a lot of PP.
Preventive plant really affects us year in year.
Right. And so that was one of the things that came up in the voting delegate session that, you know, we wanted to advocate for. The other was, there was some H-2A visa stuff. That's been sort of an issue for many farmers.
Yep.
And just wanting to have, you know, the association have protections for farmers with various H-2A visa issues.
I think there's plenty of discussion that has to be had for you. And that's probably just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to what you're doing.
Right.
With the not just our state association, but as you said, the greater American Soybean Association as well. So the corn growers are having their meetings. You're having your meetings. There's probably some crossover things. I know that Brooke Rollins is coming in this afternoon.
Right.
Is that an event that you're putting a stop on your watch?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think everyone's got notifications set up for that. And I had heard rumors of that happening yesterday, but no one wanted to advertise that because you never know, you know, in the federal government, what could happen. So I think lots of people here are very interested in hearing what she has to say.
If you had 2 minutes with Brooke Rollins, and like you said, you're kind of newer into your farm operation. You're new to being part of the soybean growers. But if you had 2 minutes with Brooke Rollins, is there something in particular you want her to know?
Oh, man. Just 2 minutes.
Quick bulletin points there,
yeah,
Brandon.
Well, I think, you know, so I've been farming for 6 years.
Yep.
And so one of the things that's, like, there's been, we've been attacked, you know, the walls are closing in for row crop farmers, and they have been. There has been some positives that have happened. You know, me specifically, I've benefited the most from the One Big Beautiful Bill.
Sure.
You know, they extended the beginner farmer, the amount of years that you could be in that program.
Yep.
I was going to be graduated out of that year, you know, after 5 years. So, and then, you know, with the insurance subsidy, you know, premium subsidies and things like that. But where I'm going with this is there's a lot of pessimism, you know, going forward in the industry. And I would just sort of ask Brooke sort of where are areas where we can be optimistic? Like we need a farm bill. We need some sort of
structure
going forward into the future.
Yeah.
So that we're not just sort of putting out fires here and there and proceeding without knowing what's to come.
Absolutely.
So I don't know if that would be a 2 minute discussion, but
you would like some certainty in your market.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. And I think that's important. And, you know, we're making business decisions without all the information.
Sure.
And that's very stressful for a lot of people.
Very stressful right now. There's no doubt about it. Maybe one of the things that helps you a little bit to alleviate some of that stress or give you some direction is being part of the Corteva Young Leaders Program.
Right.
That's just started. This is like your first week kickoff of that, correct?
It's actually the tail end.
So
the first phase was in Iowa and Des Moines at the Johnson, Iowa Corteva facility there.
Sure.
And then this is sort of the culmination of the program we had meetings and then, this is phase two. This is the end.
Now, as you've been a part of this Young Leaders Program, what are a couple of the things that you're going to take away from it at the end of that year's cycle and say, I really did learn?
Right. So, I could talk all day about the Young Leader Program. so it's brings together all the state associations can choose or select a young leader. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things right off the bat is you get to meet farmers from, I think there's 18 different states.
Sure.
So there's around 30 of us.
Okay.
And just that alone, like the networking there, talking to, you know, there's a few Canadian farmers, there's a farmer from Maryland, there's a farmer from Mississippi, Iowa. Everyone does things a little differently, but we all have the same, we all face the same, you know, battle the same issues.
Yeah.
So just that alone, the, you know, meeting other young farmers in around the country is very beneficial. And then my wife got to be a part of that as well.
Nice.
She's from Arizona, didn't grow up on a farm.
Yeah.
And I think it's been even more eye-opening for her, just kind of learning the ins and out of what we do.
So would you say that she's adapted well to living in North Dakota and
yeah,
she's, being part of a farm operation?
Well, she's had a few mild winters. So.
Oh my. Well, so good so far.
So good so far. And no, she's a champion. She's, you know, the boss of our operation. So I think she's learned a lot, and she, you know, not that she didn't appreciate what we do before this, but I think it's really broadened her, her viewpoints, and sort of, she feels more confident in herself talking about
yeah.
agriculture.
That's fantastic. So again, we were joined today, Brandon Dale, Jamestown, North Dakota.
Yep.
Sixth generation or fifth?
Fifth.
Fifth generation.
1906.
Sixth generation will be before too long.
Yeah.
North Dakota Soybean Growers Association, Corteva Young Leaders, enjoying the few days we have here at Commodity Classic.
That's correct.
Excellent. All right. Well, Dean, I know you've got some tickets to give away for the Home and Garden Show when we return. Probably have a little bit of time to catch up on a few other news things besides cattle rustling and Lord only knows what might else happen here at Commodity Classic before the end of the day.
Does this thing work?
Yeah. You know, they didn't, I don't know that they left us a key, but.
Start it up and see how many people start moving.
Honk the horn.
I'll have Addison check. I'm not sure if I sent him the photo, but I did put it on our Facebook page. If you're curious about the size of these machines to get over the top of like more mature corn, et cetera, there's a picture of me standing underneath one talking on the phone earlier this morning. And there's a lot of clearance above my head. Let's just say that. There's no fear of me hitting my head on the bottom of this thing. So it's pretty cool.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, like Bridget said, when we come back, we're going to have a pair of tickets to give away for the Home and Garden Show. We've got a trivia question that you have to answer first. If you get that right, you got a pair of tickets for this weekend. We'll have more on that when we come back. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. 1:50 in the afternoon. Temperatures outside in the upper 20s, low 30s in the Northern Valley. The rest of us hanging in the mid 30s across the area. We'll make it up into the upper 30s this afternoon with more sunshine. Now, we've got a pair of tickets to give away to the Home and Garden Show. If you can answer this weather trivia question. So far this winter season, 25-26, our largest snowfall was 5.4 inches, and that was a two-day storm. And that ranks third lowest out of the last 10 years. So, yeah, it's been a very non-snowy winter as we kind of, if you've been around here for a while, you know that. Now, over the last 10 years, what is the largest snowfall we've seen in our winter season? And again, these are 2 or 3 day snowfall totals because a lot of times these storm systems kind of sit and get parked over the area. If you can give me a relatively close guesstimate and what year it was, we got a pair of tickets for you for the Home and Garden Show. So far this year, our largest snowfall in one single storm has been 5.4 inches. Over the last 10 years, what is the largest snowfall we've seen out of a storm system in our area? 701-293-9000 for a pair of Home and Garden tickets this weekend out at the Fargo Dome. I was kind of surprised to see it was typically you get these bigger storms in, you know, as we head into March, sometimes April. This was in the month of December where we picked up quite a bit of snow in a 2 day snowfall event. We got a caller on line one. Caller, what's your name and guess?
Becky, 18 inches.
No, Becky, it's a little lower than that, but a good guess. In fact, I've got this. Oh, our largest snowfall that we've seen here in Fargo on a two-day snowfall event, 24.3 inches. That was January 7th and 8th back in 1989. So the largest one-day snowfall we've ever had here in Fargo was 16.3 inches back on January 22nd, 1982. So my question again, what's the largest snowfall we've had in a storm over the last 10 seasons? Caller, line one, what's your name and guess?
Barb, and I'll say 11 inches.
Close, Barb. Close. That's not it, though. Again, I'll give it to you if you're a little closer than that. I'll give you a hint. It was the winter of 21-22, where we had a pretty decent-sized storm, and that was the largest snowfall, again, we've seen over the last 10 years. Caller, line one, what's your name and guess?
Hey, this is Varlin, and I'm going to say 13 and a half inches.
That's close enough. That's close enough. We had a little over 14 inches, and that was in December of the 21-22 season. A little over 14 inches across the area. Since then, there's only been two seasons where we've had double-digit snowfalls from a storm. That was December of 22 and 21. Everything else, I'm sorry, and December of 19. Everything else has been single-digit snowfall, snowstorms. So, yeah, it's been a while. So, do you know where our station is at?
I do.
All right, and it's Verlin, you said, right?
No, it's Marlin.
Oh, Marlin. Sorry, Marlin. All right, we will have those tickets for you at the front desk. Just stop by any time between business hours.
Thank you.
Thanks, Marlin. Congrats. Yeah, so it has been a while, Bridget, since we've seen any healthy snowfalls. The last 2 years, let's go back, because we all know the winter of 23-24, how just it was terrible if you're a snow lover. The largest snowfall we had in 23-24 was 3.5 inches out of any particular storm. Last year, 6.7, and that was in eight. That was at the end of April. Imagine your. Do you remember that end of April last year where we were just ready for spring?
Yes. And yes,
bam,
I do.
We get hit with that snow. But yeah, this year it was just a storm that we had the other day, 5.4 inches. So it's been a while, and we still have March to go through. And if you want to know what the rest of March looks like, again, we've got that up on our Facebook page. And I do see there's a couple of stormy cycles in March. One is coming up next week. We'll keep an eye on that towards the end of next week. And then a slightly better chance as we head, I believe it was towards somewhere between the 9th and the 13th. I believe we had another stormy period coming through the area. And hey, who knows? It might end up being rain. We'll wait and see how the temps are. But we're not done with snow yet. We still have March and April, even with above normal temperatures for the whole entire month of March. Yeah, we'll see more snow. Come on. It is. It would be remarkable if we did not see any snow in the month of March.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do feel like I should apologize to those who are watching on the Lighthouse Commodities live stream. Because if I bounce in this air ride seat too much, or if I bump my iPad that's doing our video stream because I need to change a setting, the poor thing, as Addison says, wiggles like jello. So for those of you getting car sick, I'm sorry. But the way I have it set up in this cab, my steering wheel is the desk. I have my iPad over there. It's actually pretty sweet at this point. But I would say I have to be a little careful about making the iPad wiggle. So Addison, I hope you're okay over there.
Bridget
I know
has
it's a little much.
Denied it multiple times, but you cannot convince me your phone is not currently duct taped to a block of Jell-O.
Well, it's duct tape, but it's not duct taped to Jell-O.
I just don't believe it.
Oh, goodness. All right, so one thing you can believe is that sometimes weird things happen in cattle. All right, so this was actually a question that was posed to a veterinarian that I thought was pretty interesting. They had a cow come into the dairy parlor. She seemed to be doing fine. Everything seemed good. But then the next day, she was bumping into things, and her eyes were very cloudy. So the veterinarian had them treat her with antibiotic and an anti-inflammatory, and her eyes cleared up. Vision seemed to come back. But here's the thing. There's actually a temporary blindness that can happen in cattle. Usually it's mistaken for pink eye, and it's understandable because pink eye would give you a cloudy eye look as well. But there's some bigger differences. Pink eye is usually pretty painful. There can be a lot of discharge from the eye, and it affects the outer surface of the eye with a rather visible sore. But in this case, with that temporary blindness, the eyes are open, there's not a lot of discharge, and there's like a bluish white cloudiness around the edges of the eye with this fine white thread-like material. Well, it's an infection. It can be cleared up. You will have to give a course of antibiotics, etc. Your doctor, your veterinarian needs to come out and take a look, make sure the right things are being given. But it does just happen. It can be a temporary blindness situation caused by an infection that can affect adult cattle. So keep that in mind. If your cow stumbles into the wall or the freestall, hopefully she wasn't out a little late last night, and check her eyes. Maybe I have to call the vet and have those things looked at a little bit more closely. So, yeah. Don't worry, the rest of us are not going to be stumbling around bumping into walls. There's a lot of care being taken
sure,
so that doesn't happen
it's pink
here.
Eye. Sure it is.
Hey, it was just one margarita last night, right. I'm telling you. Just never know what'll happen for the rest of the show. But yes, it's been a great day. I'm afraid I missed the Budweiser Clydesdale. They had one of the horses here.
Oh, beautiful.
So I'm just going to have to go over and say hello to our friends over at Anheuser-Busch because they are great agronomists over there for barley.
Good deal. Good deal. Well, that'll do it for today's edition of Weather and Ag in Focus. I want to thank everybody for joining us. Don't go anywhere. The Jay Thomas Show is coming up next.